already provided.
He's already provided.
Oh, he's already provided. Collective body of families, Lord, of houses.
This one house, this spiritual house, this household of faith, to be so rooted and grounded, to establish, Lord, strengthen and settle us in this great faith that has been revealed to us. Bless these who are gathered here, those who are able to be here tonight, those who might be underway, Father. Bring us, O God, all under the influence of your Holy Spirit. May you be exceedingly and abundantly above all your after things. Take a few thoughts, dear God. Let them minister in such a way the Lord, to the simplest of us here tonight, it can become personalized, become real. The Lord, as we sit under the influence of your Holy Spirit, praying in our hearts, hunger and thirsting for these things, the Spirit of God will communicate with such a clarity that will benefit us. We can go back and be better representatives of you, Lord. As we ask, whatever the need among your children tonight, one might be sick in the body, one might have some urgent request, dear God. Father, as we stand in the presence, remember that we can ask. When we stand praying and believe that we have received what we ask for, we shall have it. So may you grant these things, Father, that the grace that is poured out on us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give thanks for all things. Amen. Lord, we should bless you. Bless you. Greet you tonight in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Let's open the scriptures again to Matthew 19. Certainly appreciate the efforts that you're making to be here. We know how much important it is going to be when we get out of it. It is a time that the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen the family circle, and not just in our individual homes, but even the family circle in the house of God as well. Yeah. Very grateful to know that God would give us a time like this. We long for services that can be able to diversify and the emphasis can be put in the places where we believe that we need strength, for we all desire to be true representatives of Him. Amen. Matthew 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him and saying unto Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? See, that was the ground of the authority. They believed that when they were doing these things, they were doing that because they found that in the word of the prophet. They believed, that is how they believed it and interpreted the word of the prophet in the mind. But this is the God who had given it to the prophet. And this is the God who had made the first man and the first woman and instituted the marriage covenant in the beginning. And this is the God who himself was the very word that he had given them. Amen? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. Now all the time they were holding on to Moses' word, But it didn't know that word was given because of the spiritual condition that they were in. Because of the hardness of their heart. And we were drawing your attention last week. They said Moses commanded us. Moses command to give a righteous divorcement. He said, Moses suffered you. Not command you, suffered you, permitted you. Because of the hardness of your heart. Suffered you to put away your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. Their question was, in verse 3, is it lawful to put away, for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He shouldn't get only one cause. See? But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committed adultery. So he was correcting that concept because it was not for every cause. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples came to him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. And you know, you go on speaking about the eunuchs, which I take all the time. Let us pray once more. Father, take your word and make a night if you sit in your presence. You give the unction that we need to minister such things, and not just to say it clearly, but even that it can rest upon the congregation, that they too can receive it clearly. So may you help us both speak and hear tonight. And may we have a break next week and we get the young people, and then we will come back after that and start again. So we sort of kind of at the same time cover the different areas of believers in the assembly. You know, last year we spent in trying to meet the diverse needs in the assembly. We have had such a tremendous service on Sunday, and a message showing at the end time and so on. And tonight we come back to look at these services that we are having here with couples, and then Friday prayer service, and we are trying to bring prayer for the work in the region at this time also. So all these different things as an assembly, what is going on in the home church, we are certainly want to catch the feeling of the Spirit, catch the heartbeat of what the Holy Spirit is doing our midst, and kind of get under that influence, get in that channel where we can really walk in the rhythm of the Word, and we can see God bless us and see Him lift the church up to higher by the grace of God. So the first sermon was taken on the first couple and their ministry, and we're looking for a subject which we took last week for the same subject, going back to the beginning for the true scriptural answer. Then last week I was speaking on the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, using the same subject, going back to the beginning for the true scriptural answer. And tonight I want to take because of the hardness of your hearts, and then use the same subject, going back to the beginning for the true scriptural answer. Because we are trying not to use these services so much just to preach and you know, give out the love of the word, but we are trying to focus it down into the places where it can help the family units, the husbands, fathers can catch a clear revelation of the position in their home, in the assembly, knowing that the assembly is just made up of homes. We are trying to help the wives catch a real revelation of the place, and then husband and wife can begin to see clearly the relationship and the mystery of this relationship between Christ and the church, that is to be brought down a little closer in the home between the husband and the wife, and the pastor and congregation. And then also we are looking for a real insight that will bring us to see what it is to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the marriage of the Lamb is coming. His wife has made herself ready. And we have been taking this inspiration of the marriage and divorce, which I'm telling you is one of those mysteries of the thunders, because that was the thing that in the beginning, the first couple that God brought into existence was put under marriage covenant. And that was a mystery of Christ in the church. The Bible begins with a marriage, it ends with a marriage. It begins with a home established. The family was to live and multiply, fulfill God's will. We find out in the last days when the marriage takes place how the bride is going to have that marriage supper, that honeymoon, the millennium, the future home. It all ends back up the same way. So we realize that all these things, the entire secret of the Bible is a great mystery of Christ in the church, a great marriage. The Old Testament reveals the husband, the New Testament is the wife, and the husband and wife come together, and this is the hour when they will become one. And as we think of this, you know, I've been sort of going from stage to stage, and we were taking in the first service how Jesus, in answering the question that was asked him, and if we want to find the truth in marriage and divorce, we must go to Matthew 19, because that's where Jesus dealt with the subject. And when he stood here, he looked back at the beginning and pointed them back to the beginning and said it was not so from the beginning. When he answered the question, he went beyond Moses. These people are trying to hold on to what Moses said, and they were not looking back at what was the original covenant, the original institution when God established the first marriage, the first home. And in looking at that, we found that that is where the answer was, because Jesus was showing them, and he said, have you not read? You asked him the question, and he was showing that if they had read, if they had a revelation of what they had read, they would not even have asked that question. Last week we were looking at bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, showing that when Adam caught that mystery, when the bride was presented to him, two times God brought something to Adam. He brought the animals and the fowls in the air to Adam to see what he would call them. After he did that, the next thing he brought was the woman he had taken from him to see what he would say concerning her also. We found that Adam, he looked at the woman and he said, this is bone of my bones. And he prophesied and said, therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. And then Jesus, when he came, he said, it's God who said that. Yet in Genesis, he said, it's Adam who said that. And then Paul coming in also, and he says, therefore shall a man leave father and mother. This is a mystery concerning Christ in the church, showing how in the beginning, when the church is bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh, God was showing that the real marriage covenant, the original marriage covenant, was the wife was part of the husband. And if a man is to put away his wife, he's putting away part of himself. And so Adam couldn't put away Eve, because to deny Eve, he was going to be incomplete. And we find that God did it like that because he wanted to show the permanence of the marriage covenant and the marriage union. Because when God made one man and one woman, it couldn't have no divorce, because if you divorce, who are you going to marry to? Amen. It is part of himself. But we found that divorce and this thing became possible after the fall. But it couldn't be possible before the fall. And after the fall, we found that God changed the covenant, which we're going to maybe look at a bit tonight if we reach here by God's grace. That's a place I would like to bring to you. And I know sometimes the things that we are going at, taking in these services, it's things that need pondering. It's things that need meditation. It's things that need hearing over and asking God to make it clearer to you. Not that you hear it and you'll be able to remember it. You don't want to remember it. You want to live in the conscious realization Because we are saying that if we can grasp the full revelation of the marriage institution and the marriage covenant, we'd have a true concept, and that true concept would be the true foundation upon which the true relationship is built. You tonight say, I and the wife don't get along. One of the reasons you and your wife don't get along is because you don't have a clear revelation as to what the marriage union and the marriage relationship is in the Bible. But if you get a revelation of that, you will know you will be determined to get along with your wife, and you will do everything to get along with your wife, and you will, the wife will do everything to get along with her husband, and you will know that even though your husband is unsaved, you can stand here and even by a chaste conduct corporate here save your unsaved husband. Such is the power of a woman in her position. So it is not just a social thing, it's a mystery. And if it's a mystery, it must be revealed. And if it's a revelation, it's faith. And if it's faith, faith produces things. Faith can lock things. And if it's just cooking food and washing clothes and sweeping house with no faith, then she will do that like a domestic servant can do that for a wage, but that will not win an unsaved husband. So it needs faith. And if a man has a wife and he feels that she has a devil, and he feels that, you know, she ain't really lined up with the word, and they kind of try to use his authority, I'm the man in the house, you have to be submissive to me, you're going to hear what I say, otherwise you're going to find your own house. And he don't realize that being in his position and link up with God, his wife in an unsanctified condition, in an unbelieving condition, she can become sanctified and his children can be made holy if he can stand there with that revelation, knowing his position there as a son of God, and see them say, why be saved? Because if you believe in your household shall be saved. But we find sometimes for God to fulfill his word, and certain times there are conditions that are predestinated in the life of believers. Many a time, because they don't know how to work with the word, because they are weak in working with the word, because they don't understand the mystery of God, then they kind of give up and they feel bad and they accept this defeat and say, you know what, can't get along. They look for another woman, or the woman look for another man. Then there are problems, and then they try to use that as a form of justification why they should separate and have a whole new scenario and start over afresh. And those things backfire 99 and 99% of the time, because when people leave and do those things, they never really stood there with the revelation of the word, working in harmony with the word of God to see the power that could change and transform. Because they look at their marriage as something purely domestic and social, and they never lived in the position where they held the mystery of the faith, or where they were, or what God made them in Christ. And that's a great thing, because as we look at these things, we see the need to have a true concept, because that true concept is the only true foundation. And the only true concept you have to know what the marriage covenant was, what was the marriage institution was, what was the thought God had in his mind, is to go back to the beginning. Because the reason Jesus said it wasn't from the beginning, Jesus was actually telling them, God do not have two thoughts about a thing. Jesus was trying to tell them, God is infinite, he is perfect, his first way is the right way, he cannot improve on nothing that he did. You find the original way, you find the true concept of what God had in his mind. God cannot change his mind about his word, is what he was telling them. But since they had a Pharisee concept of God, a human idea of what they believe an infinite creator could be, and they thought that God was too human, And that real problem comes many a time, like Pharaoh with the Liberian. You can say your own. I tried. Take it, I got a child, I can't have a child, I ain't trying no more, I'm frustrated. You take Hagan, you go with Hagan. She was just frustrated with a frustrated woman talking. Because she was looking at the whole thing purely from a natural level. And so she never came in the faith for the supernatural. I was going to come to pass by the supernatural working of God who gave them the covenant, and not just based on the condition of physical body was in. And so God had to come to break the unbelief, lift her faith up into a certain realm, give her supernatural strength that she, he can bring to pass what he said in her life. And if you realize you are seed of Abraham, you've been given the same unconditional covenant, then when there are certain circumstances there, you don't look purely for natural help. You don't think a marriage counselor or a social worker or a government program going to help the case and that they will have a right to give up. No! You watch and say, you are in a covenant, you are elected, you are called by God. You've been predestined according to the purpose of God. And you realize how these things are laid out. When you have a man in this age saying that he was in the days of Noah and then can't have faith for his family to go about the judgment and come up in the news, he's not really a believer in this age. Because the believer in the age that Noah, which Noah was a believer, being warned of God of the kingdom of the earth, moved with fear and prepared and asked for what? The saving of his household. It was, he had a revelation. Abraham and Sarah coming to a change, the man and wife, in a day like Sodom. Didn't he mention, you know, they are son of Abraham and they can't believe for the wife? They are breaking up the Bible. Abraham had to look at Sarah doubting the promise of the and stand there with faith believing. Because out of his faith, he could fall for strengthen her. He knew how to deal with her according to knowledge. He knew of frustration. He knew of the prayer of God to come in the scene and help her with the condition she was in. He knew that as long as she was joined to him, God couldn't touch her because he got back to touch him. When it comes to us many times in these areas of our lives, if we are not emotionally stable and we are emotionally unstable, and this is such a temperamental age, you have so much emotionally unstable people. People who should be growing solid, getting established, rooted and grounded, knowing by now that a man born of a woman is seed and full of trouble, knowing by now life is not without its problems, but knowing that the real victory is God has given us his word and his spirit, and what of his word and his spirit, faith can master all circumstances. Glory. Amen. Then you see a believer, he's not trying to escape this, trying to escape that, make excuses, you know, doing. When he sees he's unable to deal with things in his house, he goes to the Father, teach me how to work with your word and overcome that and overcome this and overcome this. Because all these things have already been overcome for us, but I don't know how to work in the word to enjoy victory over them things. Teach me, Lord. I can't live in failure, bringing a shame on your name, bringing a stumbling block to the believers, and I can't enjoy the Christianity when I'm continually failing. Amen. But you have shown that you have made yourself accessible to us, and you will dwell in us, and you will walk in us, and you will overcome to us. Then, Lord, show me where I need to empty out, the more you can come in my life. What does make a person feel like that? Sincerity. They're not trying to make believe. They accept that they all have weaknesses. They're not trying to live like, I have no weakness. They're not a human being, I have weaknesses, I have failures, I have hereditary sins and everything else. And by the grace of God, I'm saved and kept there by the power of God. So they're not trying to be a super duper Christian.
they see the value of what God did through in Christ first, and have there, and know that we need that every day, and we live by the faith of the Son of God every day. I want to make a mistake. You say, honey, that's me. I made a mistake, and I'm sorry about that. You know, but you know, I didn't mean that way. And you know, I pray that God give me strength. And when you don't want to destroy credibility and pick on the continent, you can be bold and say, God, I'm hurting my wife. I'm hurting my children. You know, I'm hurting my husband. You know, I can't seem to handle my situations. I'm just the place that put me, and I don't hardly have contact with the world, and all the contact is my family, and when I can shine light among them and please them, and that's only a handful. And you get concerned, and when you get concerned, God comes to you. Because God sees you are interested in honoring Him. He sees that you recognize your weakness, and when you recognize your weakness, then what He did for you and on your behalf becomes of value to you. And when you learn to overcome by what He did, you appreciate God making provision to help you in your time of need. And so you glorify and praise God that He had made that available so you can walk in victory and you don't have to live in defeat and stay down and can't rise up. But if we have the concept, man, I already make it, I already did it, already. Sure, you might have a perfect standing, but what about your state? Your standing is not your state. Your standing is what you are in Christ, how God gives you the blood. But your standing and your state must become one. And when you lose sight of what your standing is, then you can't seem to walk step by step and see your state become one with your standing. You see, God in Christ, God sees you perfect in Christ. But the thing is, when you look at yourself, you sort of failures and mistakes. But you hold that vision of what God has made you, and you keep walking in that. When you take it out for that, you begin to fall. So you realize our life was not intended for us to live outside of keeping our eyes on Christ. It's when they took the eyes of Christ, they fall in. So if you want to get redemption, you can't look to the church, not to Christ. Amen? So, we were looking at last week, that when a man finds his bride, how God brought her unto him, he sees part of himself. His confession is when God brings his wife to him, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Because God brings every son wife to them. How many know that? Who gets the wife of God bringing him there? You show me that the Bible show you is not a son of God. And you claim you're a son of God, I show you that God bring every son wife to him. Amen! You see, you can't play with the word! You see, people can't find the will of God and then take up the word and teach the word. They're already dead and their father has done in themselves by playing with the one and only thing that could take them out of the condition that they're in. But there's no way to get delivered outside of lining up with the word. These are things in our life we have to get clear. Now why do we fail to see that? We are not close observers of our own self. We watch other people. We watch this one, we watch that one, we watch this one, we watch what they do. We get full of what a lot of other people do. And we do all kind of contrary things, and we don't see what we do, the foolishness we do half the time. But when we look in our own selves, we begin to say, I'm weak here, I'm weak here. And we have so much of that, all of us, that if we get picked up with that, we need a lot of time to see what somebody is doing. I guarantee your progress will be that much greater.
Because when you start to progress, then people see you progressing, and then they realize you get a hold of a secret. Because you can't progress and your light don't shine brighter. You can't progress and you don't have greater faith. You can't progress and you don't have authority and an atmosphere around you. You can't progress and people be uncertain and wondering what's going on. When you progress, you know what's happening. You're walking in harmony with God. But you have control over your situation. And those things is written in people's word of all men. People see that and get inspired and they want to get a hold of what you get a hold of. And your eyes begin to open up and make a way clear for others to follow in. That's it. Come and see what a man see the carpenter. He's trying to do something and he has a whole big pile of wood to build, put on a partition somewhere. But by the time that wood cut up in all the different kind of pieces and it's joined up, it's messed up, he can't make it and everything else. And he used about 10 times the amount of wood that you need for that, and then the job will finish. You know what I'm saying? And then you see a carpenter. But every time that man measure, every time that man cut, every time that man nail it, it's like a great symphony, like a great drama unfolding before your eyes. Why? You like this man get a hold of something, this man ain't get a hold of nothing and trying something somebody else do. Well, when you see a man standing there walking, living a Christian life, handling things, but taking charge, making decisions, you can tell that man got a hold of something. You see another man where he's doing all kind of wild business and he's talking to the world, doing things different, inconsistent, contradicting himself. You know this man ain't got a hold of nothing. Exactly right. He can inspire nobody. See? He's a stumbling block. And so, when God brought Eve to Adam, he saw, and when he saw that, he was so inspired. He said, therefore shall man leave. And Jesus took that saying, look, leave father and mother, closest of blood relation, to cleave unto your wife. Yet their minds are so perverted, they will sin, put away for every cause. And felt that a perfect God could actually give that. You see, when people in a carnal condition, they see God as a carnal person too. Because they think that God is things like them. And she said, no, the God in the beginning made one male and one female. Watch how God, in other words, watch how God starts his work. What he began to do was what he had in his thoughts. What he had in his thoughts was what he expressed in action. What he did demonstrated his concept. Amen? Now here we are finding that he is telling them when they wonder, how come that Moses doesn't get divorced? How come the world needs to separate? He says, that is because he happens in your heart. Because your life is a separation from God to begin with. You've broken off from God to the fall. So that your whole world that you see, you can't get a picture of true union. Because you're born out of false union. You didn't come to provide with me. So your whole concept of God is contrary. Now what's the places? These are places I'm focusing my attention upon and trying to emphasize and speak into specific places that it can open this mystery to you. Because every word here, this is the eternal God speaking on this subject. This is the eternal God giving the concept. And when he came back in this day in human flesh, the priest marriage and divorce and the seals open, he went to Matthew 19. Could he stand there in the flesh and say the thing and come back and don't go back to what he said that wasn't perfect? He'd be saying yes to the devil forever. He could have to come back to the same thing again. That's why we know this message is right. This son of man shall be revealed again.
the true word in its fullness was going to come back again. Not just times that no people have, word too. This is the thing. Collect your thoughts. I want you to keep your thoughts so in tune with what I'm saying to you. It was the Pharisees that came to him. And they were asking the question. The Pharisees were the strictest of all the Jewish sects. Did they know? That Sadducees, that Essenes, that different things, Stoics, they had Sanhedrin. The Pharisees were the strictest sect. They tried to do the law of the letter. They were the ones that seemed to have always truth. And if you remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, who is a ruler of the Jews, one of the great teachers, he came by night to Jesus. And when Jesus began to open up in the first doctrine, Jesus taught us what? The new birth. And when Jesus began to open up to him the mystery of the new birth, and that was a prophecy in the Old Testament, Jeremiah said, God was going to write his laws in their hearts and in their minds, and no man will have to ask them to teach them about God, for all man will know the Lord. Jeremiah 31. Also in Ezekiel 36, God said, I'll give you only half from you. I'll point my spirit in that. Say, Moses gave you that because of what? The hardness of your heart. Because of the stony heart, they couldn't walk in the word. They couldn't grasp a good concept of the true covenant of marriage, that mystery. That's why they were seeing, you go with the woman, you like the woman, you find a way to get rid of the woman. She's a property. You have furniture in your house, you have fridge and stove, you have motor car in your garage, you have a woman in your bedroom. See, property. So when they saw and view her as a property, well, they couldn't even deal with her according to knowledge. Because the knowledge you're looking at is perverted knowledge. And then when anybody born by sex, you're a selfish person. The nature of fallen man is selfish. That's why greater love has no man laid down his life for his friends. He says, as I have loved you, so love one another. Man loves the self. Man tries to save the self. Man put the self first. He said, no. See about other people. Love those who love you. Put them above you. Esteem each other better than yourself. Think of the things of others. And he began to show man what the fall did to man. Amen? He began to show man what the fall did to man. So when he began to speak to Nicodemus, open the mystery of the new birth, here we find that the strictest of all the Jewish religions had no revelation of this mystery of the new birth. Now, if you can't understand the new birth, you can never understand marriage and divorce. Now, maybe you didn't get me. Invisible union and marriage and divorce is one and the same. Let me go a little deeper for somebody to help you. The original sin is what? Serpent sin. Serpent sin is what? Adultery. Adultery is what? Breach of the original marriage covenant. Serpent sin was a man going with another man's wife. And when she left the flesh that she was joined to by God as part of, and joined herself to someone that is not her husband, she couldn't be in two unions at the same time. Because this one didn't know her sexually yet, and she went and let somebody else know her sexually and took a virginity. She becomes joined to strange flesh.
When she became joined the same flesh, you know what happened? She broke her marriage. Because she had to leave her husband home and bed to go to the next man home and bed. You get that? Then, serpent seed, remember it wasn't supposed to be purified sex. Genesis 1, 26 and what? 28? Replenish and multiply. They were to multiply by the spoken word. They were to repopulate the world by the spoken word. That was the marriage covenant, was a multiplication by creation. The marriage covenant wasn't a multiplication by sex. I'm talking about the original marriage covenant. She took the original marriage covenant and she debased it. She put it down in a lower level and she misused it and misappropriated it. She defied herself, defied it, and defied her husband. A foolish woman plucked down a house. Don't you have it? But a wise man built up a house. And when she did that, before the original covenant could get on the way, it was a broken, tarnished covenant designed for people that had not fallen, and now the covenant was broken and the people was fallen. The fallen people cannot now fulfill an original covenant. So there is need now for God to give another covenant. A covenant for multiplication, not by creational, but multiplication by sex. Listen. Remember the earthquake was under the first covenant. Remember after the fall, he changed her name from Adam to Eve. Remember after the fall, God put her on the headship and said, "No, your husband will rule over you and your desire shall be for your husband." Is that right? And that interruption in nature, that breaking of the continuity, that breaking of the marriage covenant, that breaking of the marriage vow, that going into adultery, that joining the strange flesh, affected the whole universe. Affected all nature. And God, knowing what result was coming, had to introduce a new covenant because he knew the ramifications of the continuity being broken, the lifeline being broken, the timeline being broken. God knew what was coming. Man found out afterwards. You know what it was? It struck both man and struck both man and the creation. Polygamy started up here. The game cock in the yard is no longer without one hen now. The male bull is no longer without one cow now. The male dog is no longer without one slut now. Struck in nature and struck in man. That was the result. That was the condition. That was the thing adultery did. That was the result of stone to the flesh. That was the corruption that was going to be reaped. And because God knew it was going to come forth. You see, when God was speaking to them, they had only continued. As far as they knew, they had an act. God knew she was carrying a baby, she was carrying twins.
They don't understand it.
She didn't even know she sang it. She was so deluded. They're hiding. They're trying to cover up that. And their minds were so perverted already and darkened and alienated. Because think of it, you know, they were naked and they didn't know it. They were not civilized in those days. They were buried the Holy Grail.
They could have sang God's presence without sacrifice. That adultery shattered the thing. If adultery is like one time, it do that every time. In other words, you see how potent adultery is. You see the destructiveness locked up in adultery. You see the boundaries of that destruction. One adultery wakes the whole planet.
It wasn't three bad adultery, the whole thing was one. The first one. This should help us try to close gaps that exist between husband and wife. Because if there is a gap opening or a breach being made, it is to bring a separation to unite you, straight flesh, into false union. And that is why the mind and the thoughts and the eye, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, it begins to put people in a sphere where they get under temptation by starting to admire people that they're not in union with. In a kind of admiration that makes them think about sex and making love and these things. Because remember lust, Jesus said, already commit adultery. Adultery is false union. Because remember, if the man wife is part of the man and they separate, then he goes another woman, he's going with flesh that is not his flesh. If she goes another man, she's going with flesh that is not her flesh, because she's a part of a whole. And he's a part of a whole, is that right? And it takes two legitimate ones to become that whole. Think of it. Think deep. Think close what you say. May the Spirit of God just remove the tension, the tension. Maybe I'm still too strong. That it sounds like preaching. I'm just getting beside myself. My inability to be a good minister. But you see, I don't want to lose the thought I'm bringing. I'm just giving my voice to emphasis. To let you see, it is not a little thing to pray. We are grown up now. We are sitting in a couple of meetings. We are looking at the person marriage relationship. We are looking at the thing, the problem of the world. Each one of us, our homes, is a miniature world. Just like the other. We are seeing if our own is being broken up, if they are being broken up. Remember when their own broken up, they needed God in flesh to become a redeemer. When your own is broken up, you think you will need anything left? You hear what I said?
Yeah.
Or you hear what the Spirit just said? If when the first home got broke, nothing less than God in flesh to redeem that. Could your own or my own break and we get it back by wishful thinking? Could Adam stand there and bring back his own broken home? I
tell you, you sit under the Word and you look at some of these things in the Bible. If you have some life in you, what it does to you. And when you begin to see it by revelation, you realize what we ought to be. And when you see what you ought to be, you see where you're at. And you're in here. Sometimes that is very, very good. Because you realize you needed that to bring a true estimation of yourself. So you don't think of yourself more highly than you have to think of yourself, because you still in this age of self-estimation. How dare see themselves? But when God's light shine on them and show them how they were, then they really saw a true concept of themselves. And that makes us get desperate. Because every true believer has something done inside of them. But to know if there's that one Christian they planted is you. Because you know when things are please God, sin is to miss the mark. And when you see the mark for your age, you live in an age of the grain. You don't want to be a shock or some stalk. When you see your age, an astral age, you don't want to come in a motor car and feel you're okay. Amen. You want to be hitting the astronaut all the time. So these Pharisees, they were asking about marriage and divorce. And they didn't understand the new birth. Because that person, serpent seed, when that birth took place and that marriage covenant broke, what did God say? The woman shall receive what? Seed. What was that? A promise of redemption. Why did God give that? At that time, God knew the consequences of a broken marriage. God knew that it was going to take the incarnation of God to bring redemption. Because the woman receiving a seed was the promise of the incarnation. Isaiah says, the virgin shall conceive. Making the prophecy plainer. It shall be called not just God coming in flesh, but God coming in flesh to die. So the prophecy went on. And he shall bruise the serpent's head, but the serpent shall bruise his heel. Speaking of what? The work on the cross will yet destroy the work that the devil did in the garden right there, which was breaking the marriage by adultery. So God, the incarnation, come in flesh to do a sacrificial work, to die. What for? To bring the new birth. To bring the new birth. The new birth is what? To bring new union. So if they didn't understand the new birth, they didn't understand marriage and divorce. Jesus, the Word became flesh to die, to release the life. To bring a new union, to bring reconciliation by the blood of his cross, thereby making us twin one. So that no longer two, they become one. So Father, that they may be one as I and you are one, which is likened unto a marriage. The most intimate union where two become one. Get that? You see how you have to know new birth to understand marriage and divorce? You see how you reveal marriage and divorce in the natural, he come along and preach in the union and show it in the spirit? And that's why serpent seed, marriage and divorce, the evidence in the Holy Spirit, the new birth. The mystery of the incarnation, how is God becoming flesh? Not a second person, the only person. These were the mysteries of the thunders that were sealed in the book. These were the hidden secrets of redemption. And it was all right there in Genesis. When the thing was broken. Because God gave them access through the lamb that was Christ dying. The death of a slain lamb brought what? A robe. So we can stand the presence of God. What was that robe? A type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What kind of robe that was? The wedding garment.
to go to the marriage supper.
Is that right? Did you tell the power? But the bride was given the rope to go to the wedding supper?
To come back in their honeymoon and to go in the future home. So all those mysteries tie the marriage in the beginning to the broken marriage that come by false meaning and adultery. And when we look and see what broke that marriage, what enticed the woman, what plan the devil had to bring separation, how he makes people try to live in separation to the things and the ones that they're supposed to be joined to. And how when they separate from the ones they're supposed to join to, they become weak and vulnerable. Because you need each other. You are parts of a whole. Amen? Okay. Let me move on. So these Pharisees, that's why they couldn't see John baptism. Remember, Jesus only asked them, was John baptism of God? You know why? They couldn't see no reason for John baptism. Remember, they said, if you're the Messiah coming from the cross, we believe you. They couldn't see a dying Messiah. In other words, they never understood the mystery of the incarnation. They said, no, she had a kind of fornication. He born in fornication. They couldn't understand the incarnation. They couldn't understand John baptism, because John baptism was for them to believe on one who was to come. John introduced their lamb that was to take away the sins of the world. But they thought that natural lamb was sufficient. And John was telling them, that is only a shadow, that only covers sin. But that was telling you a real lamb was coming one day. But they reject the real lamb because in their mind they thought he'd come and kick the Romans over and establish the kingdom. And they failed to realize the way he was going to come into the kingdom was to see the mystery of the incarnation, to see the mystery of the death and resurrection, see how to make a bed with the Holy Spirit. And that was going to come back and bring union. And that's how he's going to establish the kingdom in you and eventually will establish it in the earth. So they never understood of the mystery of the kingdom. Remember Luke 19 says they thought the kingdom is going to come right here and then? And he said, no, the man has to go in a far land and give his servants talents and he's going to come back after his long journey. Remember he just prayed, thy kingdom come. Because he knew there's a long time. See, he heard the Gentile bride and he called these things. So they never understood. Now I'm dealing with the hardness of their heart. He said, because they hardness of their heart. I'm showing you how when, because they didn't understand the new birth, they couldn't understand marriage and divorce. And the reason for that was they weren't supposed to come by sex, and they came by sex when the marriage broke. And when you're born by sex, you're born separated from God across the chasm. You know nothing of God. Paul said we were ungodly. What does that mean? Have could never have the right concept of God. He said we were what? Sinners. Means that we were, had a nature of rebellion to God. It said we were enemies of God. Because the carnal mind was enmity to God. Is that right? He also, we were without strength. Means no man has the ability to live for God. The birth by sex brought man here. And in that condition, that man can't reflect God. So God gave him another type of covenant. And when Moses, get it now, when Moses gave them a written divorcement, Moses was giving them something that never related and could never have related to the first covenant. Moses was giving them that for the covenant that they were in. Because of the hardness of their heart, he gave them that. You see what you get now? How do you get me? And you also see I'm coming. if you can't treat your wife properly in the condition of your heart. You might think you have the Holy Ghost. One of the real evidence of the Holy Ghost is you can treat your wife well. One of the real evidence of the Holy Ghost is that's why when Jesus came, I'm trying to give you the different side of it. When Jesus came,
because they had come to the end of an age, and now he was the second Adam. He was the beginning of the creation now. God was starting the thing again. God was going to put it on the system and bring a bride out too. What did he do? He go right back to the first marriage. Because he had come right back to the beginning, the whole cycle had been made from the first Adam all the way. But the first Adam was a figure of him who was to come. The first Adam was to reflect this Adam. The first Eve was to reflect the Eve that was coming. Because the first marriage was to be this true Adam and his true wife. So he had to go back to the beginning. He couldn't go back to Moses. And when he went back to the beginning, and he began to open the mystery of marriage and divorce, that first age could no longer, though they had people all around them living in polygamy, though they had people all around them living with 3 and 4 wives and different things, and thought that that was lawful according to the law of Moses, though they divorced and different things, when he said, come, he said, correct all that, and show all that was wrong. And the only cause a man could put away a woman for, though they thought they had scripture to put away every man. And he showed them they end up in that condition because of the condition they had. They couldn't even understand the word right. That is why you see when you see families come together sometimes, when they have a little problem, they start to accuse one another. Sometimes it's hard for one to take wrong. Sometimes it's hard for the other one to see the other one can't take wrong and know her shape and her condition. And because she is your wife, you can deal with her point of knowledge. Or that your husband, you can deal with her point of the knowledge. Because he said he's not even a position to take his headship and live that mystery of headship yet. Really unbelievable. And when you should be able to give your person knowledge, the knowledge of the word that God has given you to empower you, because in Christ there's no male and female. I'm talking about faith and virtue and knowledge of these things. You shape me. You can live that mystery and save your same husband. And you can have a child and be part of you. Because that faith is eternal faith. That virtue is eternal virtue. That knowledge is eternal knowledge. Eternal life. If that mental faith, sure, it'll go for a weekend and break. And then you try to appease the conscience and say, well, I tried. You'll block yourself, you'll block somebody who don't have a revelation, but you'll never block God. You'll never block His word. Now, when I preach like this, I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to say, in God will have a power for a man to live what God says. I'm trying to say God could never ever give a man a commandment to live knowing the man can't live it and don't make available to the man what he needs to live that. I'm saying it's impossible for God to think that way. God do not defeat his own purpose. If God tell you that, he give a way made for you to live that. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. And if a man claims he has the Holy Ghost, then he don't have a second person, a third person. He has God inside of him. And big as he inside of him. Is that right? He can do all things to Christ. He's strengthened him. Amen. Because they don't understand the new birth. You catch me? Nicotine, what can I tell you about? But if you don't have a new birth, and you're trying to reform and polish the old nature, could you get a man trying to, I can live this life. I'm going to treat a better person. He's not seeking the new birth, you know. He's not seeking a change, you know. He don't understand the original sin. He don't understand how he's born. He comes into the world in that condition, you know. He doesn't be prayer to feed himself. He said, no, I can learn that scriptures. No, I can live that life. He's trying to prove God's a liar. God said, you know, you without strength. God said, you're ungodly. God said, I don't reveal it to you. You're a heathen. He said, I'll show God I'm going to church. When Jesus preached the new birth, he preached it to man at his moral perfection, Nicodemus. He said, art thou a ruler of the Jews and you don't even understand the new birth? Then you have a necklace full of rotten eggs. Is what you have, Nicodemus? Your Pharisee religion is full of unconverted people, and they are a born of flesh and flesh. And the Catholic universe is a born of walk and spirit. He said, don't you understand that you can't tell these 6 Nicodemus? Don't you understand Jeremiah to do on Nicodemus? Don't you understand David said, sit in my mother conceit and shake me in iniquity? Don't you understand Job said, we are clean or not clean? Don't you understand during the Lamb was slain that a substitute telling you a redeemer will come who will bring back the original life one day? Aren't you all in the church looking for the Holy Ghost? What Joel talk about? Aren't you all looking for a new nature? Hey, don't look at this. No wonder they couldn't live with their wives. They had to put away every time a situation comes. Because when their tempers were so explosive, I bet it out. I work for that. I demand here. When they start to get here, they start to realize their only solution was separation because they didn't have what it takes to stay together. That is a correct amen. Please don't. See, these are the favorites we have over here in this wing. They're sitting there watching couples. You know. Sometimes they could sit there and get in a certain atmosphere. I knew when I established my home. And, you have to show them here, hey, you can take the road there. You have to show them here. We have the quality where we take the rise and live what this word says. And we have to say, look at us. Amen. And let our mistakes be stepping stone to you all. Amen. So, you see, you've got the word of God in the prophets done to the Old Testament was declaring to them, man nature was fallen, it was fallen. That's what Jeremiah was saying. The heart is deceitfully wicked. And you can get a stony heart. See? Why? And in that condition, these men were marrying and different things, and the society, but remember the Jews had the purest bloodline on the earth. Of all the nations. The God make them separate. Remember what Balaam and the people of God do? He cut that pollution out to keep them pure. Yet these people couldn't live with their wives. Yet these people married and given in marriage and divorced and everything else. Yet these people's heart was so hard that Moses to save the society. To preserve some dignity in the family. To preserve a certain amount of honor and respect for the home and the family unit and the society as God's people. He had to give them something because it had gotten bad. Remember when I was in Babylon? They mix marriage like nothing. Man couldn't find them in the book. They couldn't get from the language. Yeah. The world is no longer governing people's lives. They start to marry their wives, they start to establish their homes different to the principles of the Bible. And get, if they were the best people on the earth, forget it. Don't consider looking for example in the heathen nations, the Gentiles. Romans 1, 21 to 32, Paul tells you what the Gentiles was. They're born and lost. They make idols. They worship it. They worship the Creator in all the foolishness they exalted to become vain. He named 20 something things. I can put it to where sins that they had, I put it here already. God gives them the vile affection to serve our reprobate mind. Is that right? Nimrod had a whole thing in Babylon. God had a call to bring them out. And every young people was so polluted that Moses come. God had to tell them, don't want to have sex with animal. God had given a law, I'll kill you if you do it. He said, leave the woman when she's fountain flowing. Get away. Is that right? Why? Man was so consumed with loss and passion. And remember, from Adam to Moses, had no law. And where there is no law, sin is not imputed. Nevertheless, death reigned upon the race, showing that though sin wasn't imputed, sin was there in the nature. When Moses broke the law made man, by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. That man could have seen his own condition, his own depravity, that made him cry out and say, I'm a failure, I need a savior. But instead of that, what they do? Their heart was so hard that they prayed, God, we'll do all what God says. And they exchanged grace for law. And they take the law and try to establish their own righteousness when that was a short of the need for a savior. And they try to use their own fleshly works as evidence that they're justified. If they try to work through the law, no man is justified in the sight of God. In other words, I'm painting the picture for you to see the hardness of man's heart and how the concept of God and the concept of the marriage covenant was so perverted. They were not even relating to what God gave original covenants for. And God had to preserve his own people because he had already said to Abraham, seed gave the Messiah was coming. He had already protected Sarah from Abimelech and Pharaoh. Is that right? He had already known to cut the pollution out when Balaam unite Moab. He had already weed the business when Nehemiah died. So the Messiah could come to redeem the world. And when the Messiah come, the heart was so hard they killed the Messiah and refused his teaching. And yet they thought, Moses give me this, Moses give me that. We Abraham seen. You get the guy? You must see it now. You see it now, something wrong. Because of the hardness of your heart. You see, the angle I'm coming from is, I'm trying to come from a theological angle. That's where I'm coming, the God coming. I want to share how the second covenant was given. Because God knew the ramifications was going to take place as a result of the adultery. Because adultery wasn't part of the original plan. That's why we go back in the New Jerusalem. It's a world without adultery. It's a world without fornication. Where fornication and adultery end up? The lake of fire. They can't enter that. You get it? Wonderful. Thing.
When Moses' dilemma rightly divorced me, it was not God giving him a solution.
You see, many times God gives people things. Like when you get into the law. The law is for salvation. He has taken the time to make it evident of salvation. The righteous can be made to be worshipping the part of the devil. Why? When God gives something, you have to understand, why is He giving me that? So when giving the right of divorcement, they take the right of divorcement, we can put you away. The one time they can put you away. He tells Balaam, go to. Israel was their king. He said, take one. But the nation. Hezekiah wants 15 years. He said, 15. Take 15 years. God has given man what they desire when they don't desire His word. So He said, Moses, permit you. He suffer you. In other words, God gave permitted will because He don't want the perfect will. We don't get our license to put away people. We got to see God get out of any trouble. Yeah. Amen. You know, you already have put yourself beyond His reach with your stubbornness and your rebellion. And I know some of you come out of churches where there's a teach marrying and marrying different things. So follow me close. And remember, I said we'll have questions in this. After these 3 years, we have the young people come back, we have questions. See? Wrong what we taught you. As I said, I can't come out of the first service. The first where we start, in the beginning. In other words, I'm trying to deal with the beginning to show you only have to do everything else afterwards you have this congregation. You will know whenever anything comes, you will know that is under the second coming, that is under the first coming, that is under polygamy, that is under the original. You will know it. But when you don't know it, you don't have this foundation, you're mixing up both sides and you're getting confused and you're thinking this right, how that could be, and have a quote that says so on. That's why we spend the time there. You say, watch the original. Watch God don't change His mind about His word. Watch God told in the perfect way. What would Jesus tell them when they asked? What would He say if it's because of the hardness of your heart? Moses didn't say, I'm giving you all this because of the hardness of your heart. They couldn't read that. But Jesus is telling them, they get that because of the hardness of your heart. If they don't understand etiquette, they don't have a stony heart. They don't know, who's got a stony heart from? Who's children of God? You know, the stony heart comes from being born by sex. You're born dead. Wait, this. No man will say there's no God. All man will know God because I write the law in your heart and mind. Are you writing the law in my heart and my mind? No. Out of the heart come adultery, fornication, evil, murder, envy, whispering, backbiters. Is that what you have in your hand? Because what is born of flesh is? And they that are in the flesh cannot be God. And the carnal mind is enmity against God. But he never understood. But Job, he said, who could be a king of one thing? Job understood his condition. And that's why in his craving, he wanted to find where God lives. He wanted to find a man with a whole sinful man and a holy God to bring him together. He was looking for a mediator, an intercessor, a best man. They were catching something was wrong with them. Why did Abel, the first man, brought a lamb? He was catching something wrong with him. It was not like a revelation. If them Jews had watched the scripture, they would know why God accepted Abel. Why? Because Abel was catching he was wrong to begin with. He saw his sins, so he knew he needed atonement to come in God's house. Cain didn't see that. He felt he didn't worship. He felt unacceptable. He felt he didn't come. He said, it's too trying to. I took him alive, of course. I
And he felt that I abstain, so I'm good now. He can't say, is your nature wrong? He thought, but I ain't do wrong thing, I could. The wrong thing is only come up from nature wrong.
Right, brother.
The cobweb is only come up because of a spider at the air. You don't kill cobweb all the time, you kill the spider. Amen.
Just like the divorcement wasn't the solution to the domestic and social problems, the matrimonial problems,
because that was only the permissive will of God. It was no, that was like a substitute until the new birth come. You catch me? From Moses to Jesus, from Adam to Jesus, or from Adam to Moses, sin was in the earth. Man died, death reigned, but sin was imputed to man. From Moses to Jesus, sin is imputed to man because the law was given and man knew what sin was now. And from Adam to Jesus, all man come by sex. Is that right? They only had one birth. They live in a dispensation when the Holy Ghost was not yet given. And since they come in the first birth, and that was death, because of that text, because of that conception, because of that birth, a Savior was promised. The Lamb had to die. Is that right? Then it meant that when that Lamb died, that Savior come, then man will get another birth. Another birth means the man has power now. The man come back to the original just like Adam before the fall. But the new birth brings you back like what Adam was before the fall. You stand justified. The old husband is dead, and that soul, God never did impute sin to it. You did your sin with your own nature that came by sex. And that nature is what died. And become partake of a new nature. And God can impute sin to eternal life, but never did sin to begin with. That was the real you. Had not yet been a fall. Then when you get that, you don't need polygamy again. You don't need that covenant of marriage again. You know why? Because that was a substitute. That was like a secondary thing until you come back at the beginning where you can live that mystery. So God, in order to maintain and preserve in both the home and the society a degree of honor and respect, and to protect the dignity of their marriage union and their marriage covenant, God in His permissive will give them something, a right and divorcement. Not a solution, but as a secondary thing, because of the depraved condition, because of the hardness of their heart. Because in that condition, when it's hardened, they couldn't live nor accept that the standard of that original covenant. Because Adam and Eve had eternal life when that was given to them. They were in the image and likeness of God when that was given to them. They were filled with a holy days and a faith civilization when that was given to them. After that, man was what? Dead in sin and trespasses. But when the Holy Ghost come and quicken man and give him a new birth and bring him into a new union, it raised him up back where? In heavenly places. It's not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now it's Christ in you. In your wife. In your husband. Can we see that? Before we close, I want to read some of the
Moses said, Jethro, Moses, we have it for your heart. Give you that writing of divorcement. Let's look at the writing of divorcement Moses gives him. Look at some of the laws Moses gives him. And you will understand the condition of the people when that was given to them. You will see how fallen they were. You will see the way they viewed marriage, the way they viewed the home. And watch me. If you realize when you read that, that is a description of how you operate in your home and in your relationship, then realize, because of the hardness of your heart, the new birth is a new heart, not a heart of stone, heart of flesh, a soft heart. The law was written first on what? Stone. But God can write it where? In your fleshly tables of the heart. And that the apostles, when Jesus brought them into that ministry, he opened to them in that first age, and they lived the apostles in that country life. Paul speak against it too. Because why? They got the new heart. They got the new spirit. The old heart, the stony heart was taken out of them. And God poured his spirit in them. And they lived the mystery. What Jesus preached. Could there be another Jesus message? And Jesus said it wasn't from the beginning. And then the Lord is that? No. Otherwise, they're the sinners. They live what the word for the age that was revealed to them by the Son of Man. Then, when the Son of Man revealed again in this day, what was he revealed again in this day to do? Open this. The 17th, reveal the hidden truths in the world, restore all the lost truths. To do what? Turn our heart back to the faith of the fathers. So Alpha and Omega is the soul. Did the Bible tell you that perfect love? Did the Bible tell you that all in common? With one another? Is that right? And sin can be among them? And that angelic visitation and healing and resurrection? Is that right? And the evil has been covenant with their wife and children and husband and children? That being covered every other member in the church too. Is that right? Is your heart in that? You think it is seven Sundays? The mystery truths that are still in the world revealed to you? You have the, that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost? You have the Holy Ghost? What is first thing you know the people are there? Is that simple? Yeah. It's not so simple, but somebody comes to simple. It comes to simple right back here. And so clear. Let's take Exodus 21. See, I'm taking a certain angle here. And when this angle here, it will bring out to you the different covenants, why there had to be another covenant. It will bring out to you. And let me tell you, some of you who breach your marriage, but by the grace of God, you're still in your marriage. After tonight, tell your wife or tell your husband that, honey, I love you so much. I'm so sorry for the things you did in the past. Maybe that time, I even tried to make an excuse on you. Like a man who committed adultery to tell the wife, or the wife told the husband, and I told him, he said, honey, what did I tell you? You know, I in January kind of had something going on. I remember he said, eat some hamburgers. He said, I don't have confession. No, sir. No, sir. If we can grasp this and this become alive in us, could you start to visualize what the church will be? Could you start to visualize what the church will be? Can you, by these three messages, see our sin as a church? And see where, when we don't walk in a certain harmony, we contribute to our own hindrance and paralyze our own progress. And yet, coming in this house right here,
and looking for the power of God to move, and then stand and criticize people and think some kind of things going on. When we are the church tonight, sir, and the word being preached, the message, the hour it will be preached us. But you see, sometimes when you talk about this temple, when you church in the past, in the last days, or is it the power of God move? Then maybe that will make you look and see how you treat your wife and how wife and how you run your home and how you treat your children. We can't see sin into our young people, and young people are in a certain way. Young people have to get serious with God. And we don't realize we are called to set examples for young people. We are called to leave footprints for young people in the world. We are called to learn by our experience how to deal with young people. Amen. We can be more responsible. I want to give the devil a good kick. But I want to check the devil to get through. He's going to get a paper pound. God help us to walk in this world. Since that 15 text I had, I learned about 25 now, and I'm still the first one. These pieces have been the first one. I'm trying to get the foundation to see, going back to Genesis for a true scriptural answer. Exodus 21, verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and the 70 shall go out free for nothing. If he came by himself, he shall go by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. Hebrew servant, yes? Hebrew servant. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go by himself. Wasn't working hard. Master ain't getting a production for me. He sighed and he pined in, very lonely. Master realized whipping him, moving him. Master realized he had companionship. The master gave him a wife. See? He got his wife and he's been for children. But the woman was the master property that was a slave. And this man is a slave. So the master is misusing the woman in a way to get production from this slave. But these are Hebrew slaves. So when 7 years up, he can go free. The grace of God. But when he got free, not because he get that woman for wife and make children, he can take her. Why? You know why? God instituted a marriage covenant. That marriage covenant was a pattern of a mystery of Christ in the church. The way that man is getting the wife, it has nothing in the plan of God for a man to get a wife that way. What God had joined together, let not man be asunder. Man by politics, by scheme, can bring people together, get copulation, warm each other in the cold season. Children come forth as a result of the union. The master get the production, get work done. The slave is working halfway and kind of sick, kind of cheerful. You want to do work faster or on home because you have a pretty slave here. See? But he don't know he's been manipulated and exploited with by a man who owns slaves. No, he said, but God didn't allow that. God allowed that show. That was the result of the fall. Man fell into slavery and sin. This is not talking about marriage God ordained him. That is why Moses didn't copy this from the Babylonian. You know. This is what the word of God that God gives to Moses. Amen.
So Daniel, what are we seeing? We are seeing when God say married, you get married a certain way, by a certain principle, by a certain law. When God bring the wife for Adam, when God get Rebecca for Isaac, appointed, you want appointed from the Lord. How it brought it, how God bring it to them. How God say, join the right with the right one. How Rebecca and Isaac, but they groaned when Esau went and take a Canaanite. Because they know he married into a cursed family. And when he did that, he dishonored the headship of his father and mother. And he let self-will violate the home. And he didn't respect the home, and he went out there and took a pretty woman with cutex and lipstick and bathing suit. See? You talk about marriage and divorce? Listen. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his air, food, and all, and he shall serve him forever. Think the master didn't know that? He knows very well when he has to leave, he can't leave that woman and children. So after a while, woman to get involved with and children that bear from that union become the thing that tie him that he can't go back to his homeland. You get me? How many of the wonders I got? You see, many of us think of a Russian marriage and divorce. You see them in these meetings and you'll see what you're talking about. You'll see if it is a good moment. You will see why humanity is in the condition it is today. And you will see when people are mixed up, the devil comes to even Christians. He will talk about the world, he's talking about the Christian church. He said, I preach that it break up every church in America. Think of it. And if a man sells his daughter to be a maidservant, and she shall not go out as the men, she shall not go out as the men servants do. Here God now is saying that a man servant can go out, but a woman can't go out. Why? Because the fall come by a woman, and from the beginning she loses her status when she committed the adultery, and God put her on the man. And in everything in her life there was distinction. And Adam not being transgression, but Adam was first form and then Eve, and the one being in the transgression. Doesn't Paul use that? To show why she can't teach why different things? Listen. What to make now a man sell his daughter? Remember the one in the book of Kings? Who went into debt, and the creditor was taking the children, right? You ever see people try to live above their means, can't control something, and then they mess up their own family? You ever see people planting for the children without even finding out what God's will was, because they get ambitious and influenced by the world, and then they mess up their own family? What is causing? The first sin in the beginning. A man who will sell his daughter, if that woman on that heart, she says, let the daughter go out with a boy that they know she shouldn't go out with. Amen. Especially if that boy can bring him in the room. Yes, sir. How many know that? See the word is. Something over that fatherhood with the second daughter, is that right? Hey, there's a flesh and bone. But today we have great grandfather committed incest with great granddaughter. What is causing it? is for sin. Because of the hardness of their heart. If she pleased not her master who had betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. So this woman is a redeemable woman. She's a Hebrew woman. She could be redeemed. But the man who has her under his jurisdiction because she gets sold into slavery, you watching her, she's young and nice. Forgive me, there are couples of me that have talk about the Mrs. Peter Plain. Because if I talk on a level, you won't get it. So he knows you have power over her because she's in the jurisdiction. You look at employers, does that play up with employees? Because they know the family and they got to work for the year. See, this is what you look here. It's in the Bible. So she's under pressure. He likes her. You know what he do? He betrothed himself. Before the time of pressure to redeem or go out, he betrothed her. Put pressure and get under his influence. Then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power. Now, this is a law God giving you. She's sold into his care. God is drawing a scene to show you how the law applies. But these are marriage relationships. These are relationships that involve sex and the opposite sex. Because it is an offshoot of the original sin when the woman was put under a different covenant and the man was put under a different covenant. And the man became a ruler. And God gave one covenant for the man and one covenant for the woman after the fall. So look what God is saying now. Now these things are deep, catch this. He has no power to serve to another nation, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. What does the deceitful deal with her? He betrothed her of himself, use her, then find her and she too much. It's an expense to keep she. She become expensive because he has some new slave coming in. And he didn't see another one he like. You gotta get rid of this one. Hear what God is saying. God is saying. You see, you'll understand some of these sisters when God said to the prophet, how woman can become the lowest thing is. When you see that, you realize why you want to live with your dignity. Why you want to keep your head high. Why you want to walk virtuous. Why you want to be under the influence of the world. Why you want to just dress, serve, and all these things to please your own husband. You ain't doing it for the next man. You ain't trying to catch somebody's attention when you're in a marriage covenant. You're going to pray and throw yourself to get attention from other men when God already gave you a man over you. And if he had betrothed her unto his son, or sometimes he never liked her himself, he may like she his son. See? He shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. He shall sell her. Why? Because he got deceitful with her. He used her. Because she is a bond servant and he's a master, she is property. Did the Bible say Abraham bought slaves with his own money? But all of that is mystery because we, how many know we are bought with Christ's money? He gave us a ransom for us. We are his purchased possession. And because we have rights of ownership. That's why we are profitable to him. He tells us, after you have served in the field, come and serve in your house. And after you serve in your house, then ask me without anything else to do.
And then he said, if you guys run, he said, I say not. Why? You have rights of ownership over us. We are not our own, we were bought with a price. So if you have betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. Okay, listen on. Each one is a sermon. I can't get up. I have to close with this one. I have the five. I'm going to get laws to show you how this a man has. And I'm trying to catch this while I'm doing it out here. How people is manipulating people sexually, sexploitation. From the very beginning of time. And so God had to put laws in society, even to preserve and maintain a system of the dignity of womanhood. And that's why God telling him, he said, if you betroth to his son, you are commanded by this law to deal with her after the manner of daughters. Why? The marriage covenant and the marriage union changes the woman's status. If a beggar married a king, she's a queen. Yet there is a beggar, tomorrow is a queen. What's the queen? The marriage union, the marriage relationship. What were we going to choose when came from us? Think of it. And by union with God, we become joy dead. What was God doing there? God was showing the dignity of the marriage union and the marriage covenant. Why? Because marriage was a mystery of Christ in the church. So God was preserving it. If she betrothed to your son and she's a property, you can't treat she no more as property. And slave, you're going to treat you after daughters. You're going to let you become your daughter in law. Why? God is preserving the woman from just becoming a sex thing. He is preserving her dignity. You see, when God makes attempts by law to fortify us and preserve our dignity, and we want to retrieve ourselves against every little thing outside and defile ourselves for sinful pleasure, you see how in total opposition and disregard for the word of God? If he take him another wife, because polygamy was lawful, he betrothed this one to take another wife now. Because you have two, you have three. Take another wife. Her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall not be diminished. You get that? Why shall it not be diminished? As wife, through union, she becomes entitled to her due portion and her due benevolence. Is that right? For Paul also said, don't defraud one another in the New Testament. Except be by agreement or fasting, and then you come together again. Is that right? Let's not be tempted for your incontinence and form. And if we do not these things unto her, then shall she go out free without money. Why? Because now she is being given her freedom without a redemption price being paid. What's something? She is going out free, never to be a bond servant again. Who the Son of Man said free? Free means go free. Without money. She's being given, because she was someone's property by virtue of ownership. Someone came to a debt, Leviticus 25 in the laws. They get into slavery, 2 Kings 4, the woman
children was going into slaves because she couldn't pay the debt. Adam couldn't pay the debt, and we end up in slavery. Is that right? Sure. Then she just had to come to pay the price to get us out. Alright. So, if we do not do three things, if he refuses obligation, then she cannot stay to suffer under him and remain under jurisdiction and his ownership. She must be free. She must be given her liberty. No man who may want to maintain a woman that he lawfully joined to and fulfill his responsibility, either the law, the court that make a man, they hunt them, don't find them, and make them pay their maintenance. Her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage, her duty of benevolence, is going to ready to marry people while she's in the house. You know, so you want to come home, you want to sleep out. You start to forget mountain come up, and she has it in need. Yet you want to, very convenient to you, come in and have control over her. And yet at the same time, not giving her what she entitled to by virtue of the position that she has come into by union with you, because you could take you out making a vow. That boy become responsible. Those laws were being given because God knew man was doing the woman that. So God had to bring the law to check it. And the law was so refined and defined because the whole man was so selfish and greedy like vultures to feed and exploit and misuse and abuse. So Moses gave these laws to what? Govern their home, govern their marriage, govern the society, govern these things because of the hardness of their heart. Because in that dispensation, dunya was built. If God had let it run rampant without these laws, it might never have a woman alive. But it might not have a clean woman. It might not have a woman, but it might have no dignity. But God, to ensure that the thing don't go extinct until the Messiah come and the new birth come, and man can come out of his bondage and be restored to the true covenant to live and reflect the true union of how it ought to be. If our lives fall into any of these categories here, we under the Old Testament. The Old Testament is what? Old nature, old birth. If we think of woman in that way, then I say, woman is what? The backbone of the home, the backbone of the nation. You break that, you break the home, you break that, you break the nation, you break that, you break the church. You raise them up. You give them dignity, you give them respect, you be a gentleman to them, you treat them nice. You remove all fear and insecurity from them, all doubt. Can we ask God for courage to walk in? Can we ask God for courage to live in their places? Don't we want to rise up and become more mature? Isn't it our adoption? Isn't it our this mystery must be made manifest? Isn't it our for the spiritual union, the spiritual oneness, and going to take us to bring the rapture? And our people going to rapture must have rapture in faith. Wouldn't there be a people who in the natural are living out that very mystery? Isn't the message come to lift us up here and take us out of the bondage of organizational ruin? And the whole world has been mixed up because of mix up theology. God sent one to show us how to marry our wives, how to lift our children, how to establish our home, how to walk with them, how to be a good example. When we families, God restored the truth concerning these things in the last days. So, watch here. You notice how God is making a distinction in these laws. These laws reflected what? The original, the distinction God made between man and woman after the fall. These laws are showing that that was clearly man was over the woman. These laws were also showing that even though God put man over the woman, yet he put her under a headship. But not that her dignity and her virtue should be marred and be destroyed and should be treated like trash being under that headship. He gave law, he gave things in the law to protect her and to ensure that she don't have to go begging, selling herself to get something, action and power from some other man when she had a husband. Is that right? Because if you don't give her her food, her raiment, and a due place of illness, where is she going to get it from? Her survival is impossible with all those things. And God put her on the headship so that the head can provide those things. For no man hid his own flesh but nourish it and cherish it. You know what the Bible says? The word should kind of liberation from bondage that God intends for a woman to have a freedom. You see that in there? God make provision. If you're going to keep her and make her house slave and exploit and don't give her the things she needs, you see, you won't say going dry and you can't get her cream, it's in the hands that's serving you day and night. You can't even hold them hands and kiss them hands and say, honey, these hands serve me. Every meal I enjoy, cook with these hands. Instead of your watch, I have to watch my body buy my food. And I don't give them your kids outside that restaurant. See? Hardness of the heart. Hardness of the heart. Don't right now get the woman in the tent. We now here in the opening stages trying to get this thing done. Amen. So you think I'm kind of picking up for one and putting the other? No, sir. I don't think no Holy Ghost woman can sit down here at the word and get that coming out of the teaching. And if a man sits down there getting fearful about that, then something wrong with him. He ain't even the place he ought to be at night. But we sit as adults under the word and see the scriptures being opened, the mystery of God being revealed, what it ought to be for us in this hour. Also, it showed to us the ills that come through polygamy, where a man now, because of the polygamy, which was really an adultery, which was the results, the ramifications of the adultery, because it came in both man and beast, it came in every creature. It was the results, like a curse from the breaking of the continuity, from the interruption of the original program of God. And so the laws have to be given, yet inside of the air, God is still mindful. This sin is being corrected. And yet the good things is being preserved. Knowing that when the second Adam comes, he was going to go back to the beginning and give them a new birth, a new nature, and take away the hardness of the heart and give them back the original covenant to bring them up. I'll have to stop. I want to beg for one more. Okay. Let me choose one. Deuteronomy. Let me see if I've got it. Let me see 22. What was this? Exodus 21. Okay. Deuteronomy 21. I think I found it. 10 to 17. What's the laws? Remember, how did God unfold his mystery? Shadows, types, feasts, ordinances, laws, all this was unfolded. And remember, the entire Bible is the expression of one goal and one purpose. What starts in the beginning goes all the way until it comes in the end. This is not something that George did. All is coming out of that original marriage. Were broken. Deuteronomy 21 verse 10. Your marriage is a sacred thing. When you say marriage is a sacred thing, you can begin to see it now with a deeper insight. You begin to see the role of the woman, the role of the man. This is the kind of relationship. This was hard, with a heart, and married an unbeliever, a man who only had one birth. When the Bible says, don't marry an unbeliever, you know what it says? Don't marry a person with one birth, because that's where you get in. That is what you get in, woman and man. That is what you get in. That is the hardness of the heart you're trying to marry to open the book. See, some of you marry when it is unbelief, and God make a way to get you out. But when you know the truth and you go to realize iniquity. Is that right? That's different. What they do in ignorance and what they do in order to is not the same in God's sight. Is that right? You know the world, right? Good. Deuteronomy 21 verse 10. When thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them into thy hands, and thou hast taken them captive, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman. But that was regular. Every time they go to war, Jericho, a good woman. Salma, they are a good woman. You can rehab. But she's a nice woman there. Is that right? That was a normal thing in those times. And God knew, like so yesterday, they go there, they raid a place. What do they do? Like in Bosnia. They had camps set up. And they had organized raping. And the Catholic men were breaking the spirit of the Muslim men by systematically raping the women and holding them under control and confinement until that baby goes to a place where they can't abort it. And they either killed out the Muslim men in the war. And they call it what? Ethnic cleansing. Because the territory, and knowing that a new world order is coming with shape in the world, and the places they want to control that have Muslim dominance because of finance and banks and business and different things, the Muslim own are very prosperous, and the Catholics, that is strategic to them, then what you do? You start war. You destroy the men. You sow seed in the women. See? And what you do? You repopulate the land with your kind. And then that repopulation do what? Give you more ballots in the election for voting and these things. That's what Balaam was doing with Israel. He was doing what? Hybriding the two races to sow them with Moabite. And Moses understood that God couldn't take a hybrid church in. He cut the thing out and killed the men and the women. And make sure you know one of them paid your country savior. Is that right? How did America become a Catholic nation? Because in the largest landmass, long biggest port in the world, and from Mexico all the way to Chile is Catholic. And so they changed up the immigration laws, flood them in, and bring Catholic and shift the power of the population of Catholics and Protestants. And then what happened? Daniel said, you'll do it, mingle the seed and break the power. If a Catholic boy marries a Protestant girl, raise the children Catholic. Catholic girl marries a Protestant boy, raise the children Catholic. Is that right? Listen to the normal person, they don't see nothing. They don't think of it. But sometimes big population means big armies. Why was Pharaoh killing the Egyptians, the Israelites? They were multiplying too fast. So they passed a law in the Ministry of Health. All the midwives had to abort every male child. Keep down the population explosion, control the population. So that it's not a threat for revolution. And you can keep them regimented, how much the system could contain and control, and use them for slave labor to build the empire. So sex is also a weapon. Today they have sex farms.
where women take off the street, abducted, advertised in the papers, come for a nice job, two passes, young between 18 to 25, attractive looking, different things, and they come in the papers, all using time magazine all the time. And all the Filipinos, and then they get them out there, they go to Europe, or they get a chance to go to a better country, come to a third world nation, stricken poverty, and they go then they get into organized protests. They get into farms where they're being sold with seed, bring for children, and then they get money, when they give birth to that child, who wants organ parts, who wants body parts, who wants different things, who wants children that can't get no children. Remember, I mentioned the commercial exploitation of children in the last days. Revelation 18 says, one of the resources of Rome, they trade in the souls of people. It's a commodity. All these illegal immigrants, they both for a Chinese and everything out of China, landed in New York, building their own Chinatown, controlling the mafia on the coastal cities in Vancouver, different places, buying out all the main places. Exactly what? What's the world, friend, you're talking about? In 1999! That's why the seventh seal is open. Because man, just like the serpent, knew that seed could grow that egg, bring a race of people to the world. He could inject into the human race, build a race, build a kingdom, and take over the earth, and he could become God. What did he do? Sex. That's why that strain is still in people. I want you to be an awakened church to understand this word, to understand what this message is, to understand the time we're living in, to know God about covering this thing, to see why the world will be judged, to see why you've been called and separated, to see how you should live, so you should want to see how we've been born by sex too. All those traits are in progress. We are man the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, to be lower than a beast. He'll ravage a woman, take a baby and put out your hand to ravage her. And that's why a man to love his wife is quite a little church. A woman to love her husband. She can break that man and reduce him to a pauper. Sit down there living with all kind of other men, having a simple pleasure, magic. Take him in the court on this day with all these women judges outside there and everything else. And but all woman liberation and woman abuse and male chauvinist pig and male dominance and all these things. But they say Satan get the society where it wants, where you're going to bring the whole world to a what? Woman worship. The religion of people. Do you see all these things are playing? Do you see what marriage and divorce is? See what the prophet is talking about? Let's leave the other some place. So, verse 11, and seeth among the captains a beautiful woman, and has a desire unto her, that thou wouldest have her to thy wife. Man goes to the woman, nice, among the captives, you got to kill out all the men, break the army, so they have no army. So they conquer the nation, they control the resources, but they have the women and children can use for slave labor. Then you can also do it. You take the best of the land. This is 2 Chronicles 36. How can you see screen them? These are scientists, these are GCA, they have an IQ. Put them out in the sand, so they the land with me. These over here is Smith's industrial people, scrapping their making, put them out there to help build. These over here, they were all getting plants, they're getting a plant, there's some real under here. They would be kind of their feet, their clothes, their mind, they'll be troubled on this road, making them marry the Babylonian woman and infiltrating with society and putting forth high picture. We don't want to leave over here. We know to use the others to extend our kingdom. Then thou shalt bring her home to thy house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails. And she shall put, he said, woman, yeah. He said, bring her home, shave her head, cut off all her nails and so on. And she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her. What God is doing again? If you take human for wife, you have to get
give her status of a wife. You can't shall wife with slave clothes on. If you have your wife up to the day with slave clothes on, give she a new wardrobe when you go home by the grace of God. I'm talking spiritually now, yeah. You need to tell the religious captivity of a Shiite. And she shall remain in thine house and bewail her father and mother a full month. Because, what's the game? You're getting up a wife through captivity in war. Marriage is a father giving away his daughter to a man who could be a true head to her. So give her a right to bewail her father and mother who had given birth to her and raised her, and she had had the honor of fatherhood and motherhood to give away the old daughter when the time comes to a young man of their choice, that they know it make a suitable home for her. You get me? So the thing here now, God again, under covenant made, the second covenant. Watch, human status is changed by marriage, but God is showing that the woman cannot be deprived from the honor and the respect her parents deserve. So God is saying, you're not going to just take her, get you. If you see her, you kept your hand well, you like her, you want to be her wife, there are things you have to do. You're not going to just treat her as a spoiler, a war. She's a woman. Why? Because God was going to come to a woman one day. The closest thing God could give to a man was a woman. It wasn't good for the man to be alone. It was reflecting what? The mystery that God one day was going to do. Take a bride. And since God instituted that, it cannot be brought to trash. It cannot be debated by the man thinking, because if he takes it that way, he has all right to her. God say no. Let her bewail her father and mother. She's coming to a house of a man that her father and mother didn't consent to. Her father and mother have no choice in the matter. That's why we have marriages. I say, you see a girl and you start to love the influence against your father and mother, you're committing one of the biggest sins there is in the book. Because parents raise that child, keep us certain way, train us certain way, provide security and food and clothing and shelter and everything for her, help her grow emotional stability of these things. She look attractive to you, she look nice to you, not scarred, not messed up by the world. And you, it's like a thief wants to break in a house and take her and violate the principle of that home and the headship of that home and the sacrifice of that home for that, only for your own fleshly personal lust. That's why the prophet says, if a man don't go to a girl's father and ask for a hand to take her out in a date, you have no right going with that girl. Why? Because God is the first head. He's the first one to give a wife. He gave a wife to his son. He provided that for him. He was the first father giver. That's why every father giver represents God. That's why in Numbers 30, a man could keep his wife, his daughter, in his house and say, I will not give her to you. You defy her, but she has not given her to you. He had that wife as long as she was in his house. He's it. Because God sees your home as an institution. Look. And after that thou shalt go in unto her, after she do her father, thou shalt go in unto her, and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. And it shall be if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will. See, under polygamy a man can do that. You see a nice woman, you have a wife home, like Abraham pick up Hagar in Egypt and bring her out. Like Jacob had Bilhah and Zilpah. Leah and Rachel knew. See? Now watch. Now that was under that covenant in the heart of a man had. That was the thing that struck, that was the thing needed a new covenant. And a new covenant what? Meant new laws. And Moses was given the laws that had to do to the new, the second covenant, the double covenant, after the fall. That had nothing to do with the original one. This was because they hardened a man's heart. The condition that they're coming to, when they lived there, it wasn't built. So if you have to delight in her, you can let her go. Whither she will, but thou shalt not sell her all for money. Yet a right to take her. And if he was not going to keep her, that ended the day. He cannot prove that you said on day. You have to get some good money for she as well. That man long you will she's young girl like you, here she play music, here she can sing, here she cook and sew. See, yes, she does physical plans, she can plow plan and different things. What? That man will, if I get two concubines like that girl. See? So you know, why shall she go free? Let me make something of it. Because I fight and capture she in war. See? God is saying no. When you do that, you are robbing her of her dignity. She's a woman. She's part of a man. She's entitled to be man's wife. But because of sin, because of the fall, because of that adultery in the beginning, she born the wrong way and coming to a fallen condition. And because of that, there's a promise coming one day, the one's going to get a seed and the whole thing will be restored back. She will not be made to be a beast and be humanized and exploited. Where God had contributed to destroying womanhood, could he turn around and expect a woman to serve him and be a servant? No. So God is always preserving the dignity of the woman, yet at the same time to feed a genital to dogs. God love you, sister. Don't never feel that this message against you, this message is for you. But see, when you're not in your right place, see what that fall and that adulterous act and the woman trying to teach. She went trying to teach. And she got deceived in childbearing. Remember, this is in childbearing, saved by childbearing. She went trying to do that and another the problem. And today when you see the woman running to teach in the pulpit, because they know all these things. That's why they think, God, you use woman. Well, they use woman in different things. And that's the way I meant. But all can God protected them and preserved the peace and the dignity. That's why in a place is the best thing God give a man after salvation. I'll tell her, she is more bitter than death, the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 7. He said, thou hast hit me the eyes of God, what? Thou hast humbled her. In other words, the man used her sexually. He said, I can take a concubine. He took her home. And then he put her away after her. He don't like her no more. If a man has two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have born him children, both the beloved and the hated, and with the first born son, behold, that was hated. Then it shall be when he maketh his son to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make his son the beloved firstborn before the son the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. You get that? Think of Hannah. And Penina with Elkanah. When Elkanah going to make that will, he can't be the Samuel. Not with that word in the Bible. What does that do? It shows you how barren this was a curse. The woman who has loved the man See? But look what happened. Then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath forgiven, but he shall, verse 17, acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Another thing that teaches us is what? The sovereignty of God's election. The sovereignty of God's election. Who does bring which children first? Who does give children? God. Today when man was going to test you, baby, and these things, you know what they're doing? They are bypassing God's laws and God's word and using the scientific knowledge to remove things, and they call it a blessing because it's not really God. In other words, it's science saying, God didn't give us children, but I can give it children. See? And many times when they take a donor and a child of a biological father, that's what they call it now. And they mix, you see, they don't even know what sperm, they mix it with what egg. But God is going to suck which sperm to mix with egg. You know why? Because on the other side, sits a whole heart, brown hair and brown eyes. When God's doing that, is the greater representation. But science wants to take things into their hands, bring it to God's laboratory, without knowing what they are. See, God has a resurrection. And the resurrection, you bring everything back, because you have a photo album. And everybody comes back according to the picture in the album. When we call the money, the elements in the dust of the earth back, to bring you back what you want at your best. But because of the hardness of the hands, look where it went. Look at man, pretty woman. Look at the kind of laws it necessitated. Look at the points and the areas them laws had to cover to check man on bridal lust. Go look at woman as property, something to exploit, manipulate, use for their own needs. When they have to rely on them, they send them away. And that is how they treated the thing. When in the beginning, God had given that as a covenant to reveal a mystery. And when Adam said, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, it was revealing the mystery of Christ in the church. Yes, thank you. You appreciate the word? You take a pause after this and you get the young people and you take the messages and listen them back. The first couple and the end mystery, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, because of the hardness of your hearts. And see how this thing unfolds. Going back to the beginning for the true scriptural answer. That God had them co-equal. And after the fall, he says, now your husband will rule over you, and your desire shall be to your own husband. And that was the evidence of a new covenant. Then the man, you will no longer walk here and speak the word and dress as God. You'll till the soil. And he's struggling with brown bread. What is God doing? Changing the man's position. He said, over now, because of what you do, because you have done this, you bring children in pain and sorrow. Is that right? Amen. Why? Because now, it meant that her position will be changed. Her position will change, the man's position will change. The privileges, the blessings, the different things was removed. And now they found themselves in a condition. You see a woman giving birth to a child. You see a woman every month. That monthly cycle. That issue of blood. You see a woman giving birth to a girl first. Opening that womb. Had to get some days of purification. Double the time it was a man child. We are doing this. We are the law of motherhood. And you see that in the Bible. Today people can't believe serpent seed. If you can't see serpent seed, you could never understand the new birth. Yet they rejected fellowship and they tried to push the new birth and quality of God, the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. Yet they don't understand marriage in the first, they married 3 or 4 times and think it's okay. What it is? That was the original sin. That's the original problem. And as long as we speak about our salvation Christianity, we come to marriage in the body. That's the thing that everybody is facing. And I believe God will be gracious to open and to show you that we can develop a deeper appreciation for one another. Husband to wife and wife to husband. We can see the Spirit of God, even man in sin, born wrong, dead, come out of a womb of a deceived woman, Eve, who committed adultery, went to play with the beast in the beginning. Yet God was determined to preserve the woman's dignity and restrict the man from the unbridled lust and his misuse of the woman, knowing that the woman was made for the man, but both man and woman come to the woman. Woman came from man, but both man and God himself come through the womb of a woman in order to save humanity, and by doing that exalt the woman. Blessed art thou among men, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Think what we're talking about. So some of you who walk along saying, I demand the help. Tell your wife you're sorry when you go home. If you can, if you can do it right now, it's that much more honorable. But when you go home, some of you who get sheltered, this man is mine, and you're going to defend to your wife, realize that you don't even know which covenant you're in when you behave so. You got hope you partner, your new partner, or the partner each other, partner one whole, I should say rather. And then you try to take some temporal things just to the edge and try to use that control to manipulate her. When she is already serving a higher purpose by receiving the seal and bringing forth a posterity to preserve your name in the earth. Think of it. And for a woman who hasn't been a real wife to a man, she should have proved that God has shown where he put man up before. The place that God gave a man to be your head, and your desire shall be to your husband. And if you can't have that desire towards him, something is wrong. And you have an unsafe husband, and you can't even get the place to chase him the couple with fear, then it shows there's a real need for a soft heart. That God will take away the hardness of that heart and bring something soft, take away callousness, bring something tender, something that you can look at each other and there can be something emanating from you, love and appreciation and respect. Don't you think that's the truth, man? Let's bow our heads to God. And we always just hold your wife's hand, you can stand next to your wife here, wife and husband. Blessed be his wonderful name. And in our sincerity, sit under the word. Let's pray. Father, we went a little extra time tonight, seeing the details of the last, for this first phase, this first section. 3 services, Lord, but still need more to open up what went wrong in the beginning. What were the results? Why certain covenants and certain laws became necessary? What is the condition man came into, and how you have to check that? Yet how you turn your word to preserve the dignity of the marriage union, the marriage institution. How you determined to preserve the respect and honor of the family and the society. Yet God, your people could be a standard in the end in everything, Father. Lord, we realize tonight that there's a need for us, Lord, to grow up, to be more awakened and to have a clearer understanding, to get more in the spirit of revelation, to see what life is really all about, Father. to see the value of this promised word, this great revelation you have sent in the last days. Because when we understand these things, we will know to relate to each other, and we will know how to serve you as a church, Father. Because you have come to take your headship over your church. You come to take a bride in marriage, and the great joy and the expectation that we have is that there will be a wedding supper, a honeymoon, a future home. Lord, we will sit with you in your throne, joint heirs reigning over your kingdom, Lord. This is what you made us for. You're going to put us in the foolish virgin class. You're going to put us, Lord, in the class of those who do good works. But you put us in the bright class. That we will have this, the knowledge of this mystery, and live under the influence of this revelation. And we can shine this light and become the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hid. Take away all callousness, man. Take away all hardness, Lord. Sometimes we think we have to be mean to be tough. Sometimes we think we have to be obnoxious to be firm. But Lord, in sweetness, may it teach us. May we grow in grace and knowledge. And then, growing in knowledge, be able to deal with our mate according to knowledge, Lord. And give an order as unto the weaker vessel. And standing there as a guard to protect and keep the harshness of the world away from them, bringing security and peace to their heart, Lord. The best thing that we give to us after salvation, Almighty God, husband to wife and wife to husband, fill them up, thank you, Lord. Take away all the things of this world. Let the sweet Holy Spirit be on our hearts and draw us nearer to each other, nearer to you. And there is nothing between us. There be such a love, such a joy, such a fellowship. Our homes will be happy and filled with laughter. Husband and wife like two young teenagers, not in their 40s and not in their 50s. Because they are so living, Lord, in that realm where they are filled with joy and gladness in each other's company. And enjoying what you have given to each other, Father, and mate. We love you tonight, Father. Because when we see these things, we see what you mean to us. And how you care for us. And when we can look at our side and see a good wife, Father. Lord, we want to share everything with them, dear God. When we realize that you could give us a word, we need to look deep down in our hearts and find selfishness and callousness and hardness, meanness. Oh God, we realize, oh God, that we have received something to deliver us, to make us a better people. And how that should encourage us. Because this is what your word will do, Father. Because together, little world, we are part of your bride. And you are our bridegroom, our husband, our Lord. And if we can call you Lord and submit all to you, everything without reservation. The Bible says, Sarah called Abraham Lord. And daughter of Sarah can obey the husbands, calling them Lord. It shows that there is no fear here. There is no fear of domination. Because they have seen their husband. Lay down his life for them, Lord. And he laid down his life for them and prayed for them. God has cast the fears and doubt out of them. His sacrificial life has brought such a faith in their heart and have pulled such a measure of love and sweetness and service and humility out of them to make their home a happy home. To make the relationship a joyous relationship. Heal us, Lord. Heal us, O God.
far away in our foolishness, in our blindness, in our short-sightedness, in our callousness and hardness. We have been treating each other, dominating each other, through fear, put each other down so we can stay up. When we were unable, oh God, to serve each other as we should, even though we read that word and the Spirit spoke to our hearts, oh God, you are washing that away from us. As we yield and submit, as we make the word in faith, you are loosening us from those chains. Oh, that might be drawn into a deeper fellowship of God. Precious Jesus, may you grant it. Wherever one is crying of desires and needing it, that our homes can become revolutionized, Father. Your prophet told that man how to buy chocolates and flowers. All it needed was a little expression of love. But because, Lord, his mind was in the wrong channel, and Lord, he didn't have the right understanding of what a God-given wife was, and growing up under some old wife fable and trained up the wrong way, and maybe he had the wrong example set before him, he tried to use dominance and overpower how the superiority in these things. Debasing her. But you had a servant, Lord, a prophet, who could show the more excellent way. The man saw such results of just express a simple expression of love. He began to understand what it was to work with the most powerful force there is in the whole world. Divine love. Oh, Jesus, lift it above your high, Father. Break every effect in our lives, Lord. Circumcise us. Let your Holy Spirit flow into our hearts in a deep hole. Make us hug with each other, we can confess our wrong to each other. We can be sincere with each other, O God. We can dip our wings a little deeper. We may become more saturated in the oil of your Holy Spirit. The butler of fire, O God, can burn brightly. Your light can shine out. Our homes, O God, can be a true reflection of this great Edenic covenant, this great oneness that has been re-established under the seventh seal. When this great capstone will come, the cap of the permit of our lives, lift us up to live in this faith civilization, while we may walk upon the face of this earth, we can master all circumstances, living in this world of perfect faith. Jesus, may you pray, where your kingdom can be established in this earth, where the image of this world be broken up, Lord. And this world can grow up and become a great mountain, this rock of revelation, to fill this earth, dear God. Hallelujah! Where there is peace and harmony and love and righteousness in our lives, in our homes, in our church, dear God. We can have these things, Father. Seeing that we can have it, may nothing, oh God, keep us away from it, Lord. May just this sight of being able to see the meaning inspired by what we see. If we see it, we can go into it and take it. We can put our finger upon it and claim it. If we see strength and courage to fight and pull every stronghold down and drive every devil out because of what it costs us to come into this reality. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, may you grant. Let your love, Lord, flow to us tonight. Flow to us, Holy Spirit. Flow to us. Move on us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let our hands motion. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sweet presence, Lord. Thank you for coming close to us at church. We come close as a husband and wife. Come close to that couple of God. We can reflect your mystery in this hour. Hallelujah. Glory and praise be unto your name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As I strive daily, Lord, to see your word perfected, help me be so deeply sincere and committed. I just hear this song before you go. Jumping out of the hole. I want And if you find that it's too hard thing to do, say, oh God, help me. Look what I've come into life. I've stayed away so long from being what I should be. And let somebody come into my life. We can get my wife. We can get this relationship that we can have. We can build and prosper. Oh God, cut it out. Weed it out. Break it. Remove it. Try far away from the Lord. Help me to be what you want me to be in this hour. I can respect her. I can love her. I can honor her. I can cherish her. I can love my life her. Because Lord, no man is in his own flesh. And if it is full of my bow, this is the dry flesh. Hallelujah! How can I hate the Lord? Then if my thoughts are perverted, something wrong, something has come in and defiled my life. Let your blood cleanse the way of Jesus. Let your sharp knife be over your Holy Spirit. Come away from me, Lord. And Lord, weld us back together. Be such a union that nothing can break it, oh God. Hallelujah. And some of you go home with that unsaved mate. You go home and use your Lord Jesus. There's a strength and there's a power in your word that can change a home, that can save a family, Lord. I knew him in the Bible, and it was kind of dark to me. I didn't know how to appropriate it. But I'm seeing and acting. As the word opens, I can release my faith. I can enter into that channel. And Lord, I can work in union with you. And I, next time there's a blow up, I remember a soft answer to the way I'm asking. Next time I slam the door, as I'm telling you, I didn't mean that. Amen. Hallelujah. And you try to overcome evil with good. You forget who you are, your position, and you demand how money you're looking for, where you have to buy, you can't buy. Amen. You look at what God said, you're humbly said unto God. Because under the head of Christ, he can work to you. He makes himself acceptable to you. And his power can be released to you. And there can be a transformation. And a paradox can be performed. And you who want to see the temple of power of the elements, and you want to speak a stump of existence, can speak one right out of your own home. And you can control the atmosphere in your own home by the grace of Almighty God. Isn't that right? We give it more grace. We give it. We give it.